are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, everybody. This is Jeff Garcia, your host for today. I'm with Ken's Five San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Look, this is something that I've been hoping that would happen for months on end. Our guest, Jane Pleasure, will talk about that in a while. And it's finally happening, thanks to a little pushing from Michael Jimenez. And it is here. We have the face-off. The face-off you've been wanting. The Goku versus Vegeta. The Batman versus Joker. It is here. It is a roundtable discussion where we're going to put San Antonio sports stars James Pledger up against halftime's very own Michael Jimenez in a game of buy and sell on various topics of the San Antonio Spurs. I am excited for this. You should be too. Let's go to bring these guys on. You're not strangers to the Locked On Spurs. Pledger, though, it's been a while since you've been on, buddy. Welcome back.
What's happening, buddy?
I'm glad you're back, man. I'm glad you're back. By the way, you know, still loving that birthday party we had for you a few weeks ago. That was fun. That was a good time.
Somebody was noticeably absent, though.
Oh, well, let's bring him on then to address that. Michael Jimenez with halftime.
Michael. Yeah. I can't help it, man. I was on vacation. You know, I don't live my life around some people's calendars, man. I feel bad, though. I do feel bad. I'll make it up to him next year.
It's just a few more months. Pledger, you can wait for that.
I'm not gonna be around next year. I don't know if you know this, but we went through a pandemic recently. Kind of changed all of our lives. Tomorrow's not guaranteed, man.
That's right. Like I said, everybody, I'm excited for this. We're gonna be squaring off Pledger Jimenez. I'll be moderating this discussion. They're gonna have some back and forth discussion regarding your silver and black. Make sure to check out Pledger's show, Saturday Morning Hangover, over at San Antonio Sports Star every Saturday morning. Go figure. It's a Saturday Morning Hangover. Yeah. He'll talk about that show and much more later on. Michael Jimenez will be on later today and the rest of the week at halftime. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA and Pledger at IAmPledger. Pledger, since you haven't been on Locked On Spurs, you're going to be going first on each round, each topic. And as Jimenez said, we're saving the best for last. So that's how it goes, Pledger. Let's go ahead and dive into this first matchup of buy and sell. And the first one is about the future of the team, specifically Devin Vassell, with the core seemingly always being said to be Lonnie Walker as of now, DeJounte Murray and Keldon Johnson. Devin Vassell tends to get lost in the shuffle, but it was him who had a showing out during the play-in game. Buy or sell, James Pledger, Vassell will have his major, big capital letters, major jump in his career next season to become integral part of the Spurs rebuild.
Oh, capital major?
Yes.
Oh, I think he's going to take a leap and a significant leap, but major makes it sound like you are talking about superstar status.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he is superstar status or if he's just going to be a really good player. I do expect him to take a leap, and there could be a leap that vaults him into that stratosphere, much like DeJounte did. But DeJounte also took it, you know, 5-6 years in. So next year, I will say, no, I don't think it's next year. Mm-hmm. But I preface that with, I do expect him to take a leap and a substantial one at that. Just when you say capital major leap, mm-hmm. I think superstar status, and I don't think he'll be a superstar next year.
So you're selling. So you're not expecting a big jump, right? You're expecting maybe a moderate jump.
Moderate to big, but mm-hmm. I'm not expecting him to basically turn into one of the faces of the franchise.
All right, let's go to switching out to Michael Jimenez. Michael, you buying or selling that Vassell will have a major jump in his career next season?
No, I'm selling that. But the thing is that just like Pledger said, I think he's going to be a lot better next year. He's going to become the second best Spur next season. You know, with all due respect to Keldon and whatnot, I believe that Devin Vassell has the bigger upside. I think the big leap that he's going to take is not next season, but the season after that. What I hope to get out of him is for him to be somewhere between 75 and 85% of what Kawhi Leonard used to be. I want to see Devin Vassell take a big leap, not on the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball. That is what the Spurs drafted when they got him out of Florida State. He was somebody who was a better defender than offensive player. He was fine offensively, but he was very good defensively, and that kind of switched for some reason when he became a pro. So when you say a leap, I think people think offensively, but defensively, I think he's going to start to figure it out and become even better defensively. Hopefully he's a little bit bigger, bulks up maybe a little bit over the offseason. Yeah. His stroke is there, man. We saw that in the play-in game. We saw that towards the second half of the season. He has good form out there. I think he has a really high ceiling. But like Pledger said, it took DeJounte 5 years to figure it out and go to that extra level to get to that next gear. Mm-hmm. It's going to do that for the same way it's going to apply for Devin Vassell. He'll take a big leap next year and be somebody that we're all going to think, okay, we want him to be a lifelong Spur at that point. Mm-hmm. But the big major leap, if he does have one, will be 2 seasons from now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he did say it after the season was over that his goal is to add more size to his frame and work on his offensive game. So he's aware of that. But, James, when I look at Vassell, I think, man, this guy has the potential to be the Spurs' best two-way player.
Yeah, I love him. And I think one of the best comparisons I heard came actually from Michael Jimenez, saying he reminds him of a young Sean Elliott. And I see that in his game, both offensively, and I think he can be even better defensively. I think he has all the skills to really excel on that side of the ball. But if he's able to, you know, improve on his three-point shot a little bit more this year, be able to attack a little better off the dribble, I think you could see a pretty good leap. And like Mike said, I wouldn't be shocked if he's the second best player on the Spurs team next year, depending, right, obviously, who they bring in free agency and the draft. But he very well could take over that mantle from Keldon Johnson. But it's easy. There's three with a bullet right now, right at the top of the board. It's DeJounte, yeah, it's Keldon, it's Devin, and then there's everybody else right now.
Well, speaking of everybody else, let's go to our next topic right here on this buy and sell episode of Locked On Spurs, featuring Michael Jimenez and James Pledger with San Antonio Sports Star. Pledger, you're going first on every round, so here we go. Lonnie Walker will be a Spur next season, buying or selling?
Sell.
I guess I'm going to take it you're selling this. Okay, so
I mean, the Spurs have made it known what they think of Lonnie with their actions. And name the last Spur to return off of a rookie deal where they didn't pick up an option and let them go into unrestricted free agency. And then you saw him this year play well when given the opportunity, but still, even with the opportunity and performing well, kind of in that February, March area of the season, his minutes got inconsistent again back in April in the playoffs. So I think it's best for Lonnie himself to seek another place where you could at least get some consistency. And he very well could be, you know, a 12 to 15 point a game kind of player for another team, and really leave Spurs fans going, why couldn't we get that out of him?
So, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I mean, is my thought. I think Spurs fans are going to look at him and when he ends up somewhere else via free agency and goes, what could have been?
I like Lonnie. I think we saw him really make strides at least the second half of the season. But, you know, I had a lot of high expectations. I figured he would be like maybe the number two guy on the team by this point. And we just haven't seen that yet. Michael, you're up next. We'll repeat the question once more time. Are you buying or selling that Lonnie Walker would be a Spur next season?
Yeah, you know, Pledger said, he said sell about 8 or 9 times. I will say sell 12 or 13 times, okay, because I agree with Fletcher when it comes to this. The fact of the matter is that him not being with the Spurs next season has nothing to do with the Spurs' desires. It has everything to do with the fact that Lonnie Walker priced himself out with his play the last 3 months of the season. I wrote a column on sasportstar.com basically saying that the Spurs did Lonnie Walker dirty, if you think about it. And part of it was he didn't have a consistent role on this team. And finally, when they got rid of Derek White, finally when they got rid of Bryn Forbes this season, he was able to ball out, and he had a string of 20-point games. Mm-hmm. He played very well in February and March and into April. He did a really good job towards the end of the season, and because of that, you know, people are going to take a look at that, and he's going to be desired by other teams. He is 23 years old. He is athletic. He averaged 12 points per game last season. You can't find that everywhere, and what's so funny is that the Spurs are going to go look for talent when there was already talent on the court, on their bench. The thing about it is, as Pledger mentioned, you know, you very rarely see this team bail, you know, not offer an extension or pick up another year on this rookie deal and then turn back around and say, oh, you know what, we changed our mind. We're gonna we're gonna keep you. I think that Lonnie Walker is gonna average 16 to 18 points per game next season wherever he lands. He's going to make some money that he's going to make better than what the Spurs would be willing to offer him. You know, back in January, you might have been able to have gotten him for, you know, $4, $5, $6 million a year, but someone's right. going to offer him 10 or 12, 13 million, and the Spurs aren't going to match it.
Michael, you said wherever he lands next season, he's going to be averaging those numbers. Even if he stays in San Antonio, those numbers are coming?
See, that's the thing, man. I think that he'll be better off outside of San Antonio than with this team. If he was with the Spurs next season, he'd probably average about 14 and a half. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is that we don't know what role he would have here in San Antonio. You know, is he a starter? Is he a sixth man? Is he the ninth guy on the team? Because last season he did all of that. You know, he started a couple of games. He was also the sixth man mm-hmm. towards the end of the season. He really did well in that sixth man role. But it's going to be one of those things where Lonnie's going to do well wherever he's at. And I just hope that they play to his strengths. He's very athletic. He has a lot of talent. He hasn't taken that leap yet. And it's going to be so frustrating as a Spurs fan seeing him take that leap elsewhere.
Yeah, I could see that coming already. I could see it coming already. You're going to be talking about it on halftime. Pledger's going to be talking about it on a Saturday morning hangover of what could have been if Lonnie had stayed. Hey, before we continue this buy versus sell battle between James Pledger and Michael Jimenez, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks. If you're looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA, well, you want to go to Prize Picks. Look, they have everything you need when it comes to getting yourself some money via fantasy, just fantasy sports in general. It's easy to use. You can pick 2 to 5 players, and over and under the projection, you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that simple. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. I love this app. We know that you will love it too. It offers any prop you can think of, points scored to rebounds, steals, even allows for mixed sports entry. Yeah, MLB and NBA, you can do that with Prize Picks. And it doesn't just offer NBA. As mentioned, college basketball, college football, MLB, NFL, soccer, MMA, and much, much more. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all our users. Get $50 for free. If a player in your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point, you got to use code NBA for that. That's right. Exclusive offer right here. For all Locked On fans, sign up today. Use promo code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point. We're back. We're right here on this buy versus sell episode featuring James Pledger and Michael Jimenez of San Antonio Sports Star. Michael is with Halftime. James is with Saturday Morning Hangover, The Blitz, and much, much more. They'll talk about their shows much later on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Let's go continue our battle, buy versus sell. James, once again, we go to you. Buying or selling, Murray will emerge as a Batman player style like player in the NBA.
I'm going to begrudgingly sell this.
Okay.
I think we've seen the huge leap for Murray, and while he's the Batman of this team currently, I think he's best suited to be a Robin to another Batman at some point down the line. He's the Batman of this team just because there is no true Batman on this team. And unfortunately, he's going to need another person to run with if this team's going to get back to where it was competing for NBA titles. And I think he functions well playing off in that role because as he's a distributor, as we've seen with the triple-double, we just need somebody that can affect the game scoring a little bit more effectively than does DeJounte Murray, whether it's getting into the paint, whether it's from beyond the arc, in the mid-range. He just doesn't bring that, you know, 25 point a night kind of consistency like we saw from DeMar DeRozan when he was here.
Is that an indictment on the rest of the team as the current roster, that there is that not that go-to second guy to pair with Murray?
I mean, I don't think it's an indictment. I think that's what we all kind of saw. The writing's been on the wall for a long time, and we just happened to have DeJounte take such a huge leap that we haven't really thought about it, but that's where this team is and where it stacks up in the Western Conference when we talk about talent on the roster. This is a team full of, you know, great role players for the most part, but where's the stars? And outside of DeJounte Murray, it just doesn't have that star power that's really going to drive a team forward through, whether it's the East, West, anywhere, into kind of playoff positioning.
Michael, buy or sell that Murray can emerge as a Batman type player in the NBA?
No, he can't. I'm going to go ahead and sell that as well. The thing,
see,
about
this
it is
why he blocked you on Twitter.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, DeJounte Murray is a fantastic player. Obviously an all-star. He's in the hardest all-star game to get to is the first one. So maybe this will be a perennial thing. That'd be fantastic. But the fact of the matter is that although it's a three-point shooting type of league right now, fact of the matter is that point guards don't really lead you to the finals very often unless you're Steph Curry or – you know, Isaiah Thomas back in the day. Typically, it's the threes and the fours and the fives that get you to be very, very competitive. He needs to have someone else to play off against. We saw that he is trying to recruit Zach LaVine. You know, I know there's been talk about, you know, should the Spurs go after DeAndre Ayton and offer a max contract someplace? He's going to need to have someone else. And it doesn't mean that he's the Batman or the Robin. He just needs another all-star with him if the Spurs are going to be very, very competitive. And, you know, you take a look at the team and you wonder, you know, can Devin Vassell be that? Can Keldon Johnson be that? You know, maybe, but both of those guys don't offer the size. That's the problem with the Spurs. The Spurs don't have the size down low. I mean, you could say Jakob Poeltl and whatnot, but Jakob can be soft at times. So I think that right now, you know, DeJounte Murray rather would be a fantastic 1A to somebody. But having him be the best player on this team, you know, really is going to limit this team to be what, around a 500 team.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly above 500. Mm-hmm. But DeJounte Murray is a fantastic talent. Don't get me wrong. I want him on the team. That's my point guard. But we need another stud big guy down there, an all-star caliber big guy to run with him.
DeJounte, if you're listening right now, unblock Michael Jimenez, please. Please. He didn't do anything wrong. And he was just been, he's been nice to him.
Dude. I mean, I'm advocating for this guy to make
MVP.
Okay, now that was lame. That was completely weak, man. That might have been it. I did the poll as to why I got blocked. And I made a big old fuss about the fact that it was completely tacky for Spurs fans to be chanting MVP to DeJounte Murray when the Spurs were 15 games under 500. Completely tacky. I still stand by that. It was stupid. absolutely.
You're about to get double blocked if it's possible.
but you know, you take a look at all the things about Murray, though. I advocated for him to win a most improved player because I didn't think John Morant, former rookie of the year, should even be looked at. Number two player in the draft a few years back, never should have been considered. Darius Garland was a number five pick. I advocated for Murray to win most improved player. I advocated for him to be an all-star. I advocated for him to be third team all NBA. So I am pro Murray, but that doesn't mean that I drink every single flavor of Kool-Aid thrown his way.
Yeah. Lemonade sucks.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's keep on this buy or sell battle between Michael Jimenez and James Pleasure. Once again, James is going to be going first on this one. All right, it's kind of a big one here. The buy or sell, the Spurs will make a major deal this offseason.
Maybe this is the optimist in me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy it. I love the fact that we saw DeJounte Murray openly recruiting Zach LaVine. I don't know why he took that post down, but I am all for him recruiting. Like, that's what we need. That's what this city needs. They need a player that is openly going to go out, because that's how you get players. Players get together in the offseason and talk about wanting to play together and where they want to play next. And that's just the way of the NBA right now. And we haven't had that open ability to just say, hey, you need to come down here, where players are vocal and open on social media about it. And him being that, if he could, now DeAndre Ayton's another one that's been mentioned. I don't foresee that happening just because he's restricted. And I see the Suns matching any offer.
Yeah.
That's just the way that game's been going to be played, because they didn't want to give him the max. So if he's restricted, they can only offer so much of the max, which is less than what the Suns can offer as the max, but they can match anything that any team offers. So it's just a way to manipulate money when it comes to the salary cap. And I get it. I know exactly what's going to happen with DeAndre Ayton. I wouldn't even chase that horse, but Zach LaVine feels like a worthy chase. And I talked about Murray needs that guy that can go get him 30 or 25 a night. That's Zach LaVine. That's not DeAndre Ayton. While DeAndre Ayton's great and would provide great defense and switchability, you know, his ceiling offensively is still probably 15 to maybe 20 points a game, and having a guy that can go get you 40 on any given night, that's nice. That's nice to have. That's what the Suns have with Devin Booker. That's what the Nets have with Kyrie and KD, just people that can go out and explode for you. Yeah. And you're guaranteed at least 25 a night from these guys on any given night. Mm-hmm. That's something that's impressive. And I don't know how well it's working in Chicago with DeMar and Zach together, and whether they want to keep that core of those two and Vucevic, or if they're ready to move on. So that's at least an option. And the fact that he's already openly kind of recruited him, even though he took it down, and I'm guessing that came from the front office, I'm about it. Go get Zach LaVine. If they're going to make a move, I will buy this, hoping against all hope that they either go get Zach LaVine or they use that money and draft picks to at least trade for a player of some sort.
Yeah, we didn't really see this type of open recruiting as we saw with DeJounte recently. Now, you didn't see it in the Big Three era.
Well, that's because Tim doesn't have social media. Yeah.
Well, as far as reports coming out, you know, like back then, I mean, you know, Woj was still existing, you know, something would have popped up, you know, on his end. But the closest we've seen something like this is when Kawhi Leonard came out in an interview saying that he openly recruited internally, though, with the Spurs, of trying to get Paul George in Spurs colors. But I'm glad that he did that. I agree with you. I don't think he should have taken it down. I think the Spurs told him probably to take it down. So they told him to yank that down. But no, I mean, you can get Zach LaVine, it'd be good. You know, I'm on record thinking that he should be like a top target. I still think you need to look address the big situation with San Antonio. I think that's a need. Like, that's a need. They need a stretch five, a stretch four, desperately. So I think I would vote that on the to-do list at number one. But, hey, if your consolation prize in the offseason is a Zach LaVine, oh, no, not that. You know, not that, you know, in San Antonio. But, of course, you know, this is something, James, where there's a lot of smoke and fire. They're both from Seattle. They both shower each other with a lot of love throughout the season. Mm-hmm. A lot of pictures of them together at the All-Star game. They were the same team, Team Durant, the All-Star game. That Seattle connection is strong. And if DeJounte's tapping into that, I'm all for it. Michael, you're up. Buy or sell, the Spurs will make a major deal this offseason. Is he there? Hello, Jimenez. See, we lost Jimenez. All right, we'll wait for him to come back. We'll continue our chat with James. Yeah, it looks like he has some tech issues going on right now. Hopefully he's not out for the whole rest of the episode. But, oh, there he is. Hello, Michael. Can you hear us?
Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. All right, we got you back, man. Buying or selling, the Spurs will make a major move in the offseason.
Oh, man. You know, R. Kelly right? said it best. My mind is telling me no. my body is telling me yes.
Is it socially acceptable to be quoting R. Kelly? I just want to know. I don't know where the cancel culture is at.
If you grew up in the 90s, it's still okay. I mean, people still listen to Michael Jackson, for crying out loud. But anyway, you know, it's funny because, you know, Brian Wright, the artist formerly known as the Hologram, has made me a bit of a believer. I didn't think this guy existed, and then he traded Thad Young for a first-round draft pick, and he traded Bryn Forbes for a couple of second-rounders, and then he traded Derek White for a first-rounder. The Spurs have 3 first-round draft picks this year and have the Chicago draft pick, in 2025, and the Spurs still have all of their own and a bunch of second-rounders that we picked up along the way, including a top second-rounder from this year as well. I mean, where are we, number 38?
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs have expiring deals in Jakob Poeltl and have and Josh Richardson. The Spurs can decline a team option on Romeo Langford. The Spurs have a lot of non-guaranteed contracts or only partially guaranteed contracts that they can get out of, like Zach Collins. Oh, my goodness. I would say this. I would not be surprised if the Spurs made a big move in the offseason. It does not need to be a free agent signing. It could just simply be a straight-up trade.
Yeah.
Because the Spurs could absorb a lot of cap space. The Spurs have, you know, sweeteners in there from expiring deals to first-round draft picks that you know, galore that they have. I think that if the Spurs don't do something, in the past it was because they probably didn't try. But this year, if the Spurs don't do something, I will be in the back of my mind being, it's okay, because I think the Spurs made every effort to do something because they are showing that they're willing to wheel and deal now. They're willing to get rid of a fan favorite in Derek White. They're willing to pick up other first rounders along the way. I would not be surprised. You've been talking about Zach LaVine, been talking about DeAndre Ayton. We need something. We need some sort of talent here. And to be honest with you, I don't care if it's coming from the 2 position or if it's coming from the 5 or the 4. The Spurs need something. But the fact of the matter is that the Spurs have every ingredient on the table needed to cook up a deal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm leaning towards buying this. Because again, Brian Wright is showing that he is willing to make some moves. So why not?
Yeah, you're going to throw in there as well. Who also has an expiring contract and could be a possible very big commodity for any other team? Jakob Poeltl. He's in his final season.
Yep.
Very cap friendly. $9.3 million-ish. You know,
go get Lauri Markkanen again.
Oh, we're back on that now, Pledger. We're back on the marketing train. So, yeah, options galore for this team. You know, would you, Pleasure, you know, would you consider a major move moving up in the draft? Would you consider that as an offseason move?
Yeah, that would be a huge option. If you're able to move and maneuver somewhere into the top five, yes, I consider that a huge move because there is a difference in talent between nine and top four, top five. Like, there's a gap in – there are tiers of players. There's the top three, then there's the next four through probably seven or eight, and then there's – 9 through 15, and then there's the end of the first round. Like, there are tiers of talent in this upcoming draft, and the biggest tier is that top 3 to 4 mm-hmm. picks, and it ends with the three that get mentioned ad nauseum, and then after that, Jaden Ivey. And then you're talking about Keegan Murray, and, I mean, you've got to delineate how big of a jump you want to make, but I think it's possible that they could because they have the assets needed if they would truly like to.
All right. Well, there you have it. It looks like everybody's tentatively buying that the Spurs will make a deal this offseason. I want to talk to you quickly about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. You can find the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, start of the Major League Baseball season. Yep, it's back, everybody. You want to go to BetOnline.net. BetOnline is your continuous source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and much, much more. They even got lines on whether or not Popovich will be back next season on the sidelines. You want to put some money on that, you want to go to BetOnline.net. Head to the website today. You got yourself a mobile device in your pocket, tablet, cell phone. Just go to BetOnline. Learn more about the trends in the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We're buying or selling a few, at least some topics on the San Antonio Spurs with San Antonio Sports Stars Michael Jimenez and James Pleasure. Guys, this was not on the rundown, but it just popped up yesterday late night that the Spurs are asking the county if they can be allowed to play a few games away from the AT&T Center, and that being in Austin, Mexico City, possibly the Alamo Dome. But this Austin thing pops up, and Spurs fans get all nervous. They get, oh, relocation, even though the Spurs have a non-relocation agreement with the city that lasts about 2025-ish. But nevertheless, James, once again, we'll go to you first. Buying or selling? Where there's smoke, there's fire? Is this relocation shopping?
Oh, I'm buying that they are trying to. I don't know if the city of San Antonio will agree to this. But the fact that they're trying to, yeah, I'm buying. I'm buying that. That is, you have a owner in Michael Dell, Dell Computers, who is based out of Austin, and Sixth Street Incorporated, which is one of the investing groups that is bought in with the Holtz, that is out of Austin. Do you think they've got a brand new arena in the Moody Center? You don't think that they want to show that thing off and have some regular season Spurs games up there and try and make their pitch on being an NBA city? Now, whether that's to get a team to relocate there, expand there, or maybe push the San Antonio Spurs into more of what the Dallas Cowboys are doing, in terms of the Dallas Cowboys are based in Arlington right now, which is outside of Dallas. And there is this nice, huge metroplex that is creating itself in between San Antonio and Austin and New Braunfels and San Marcos, with a whole lot of land out there. I don't know what the end all be all is, but I don't like where it's headed, and I wouldn't want this to be a thing. But this isn't the first time we've heard about it, and the more that they try to take games away from San Antonio in terms of non-NBA sanctioned games, where they're like, hey, you're playing in Mexico this year, or hey, you're playing in Europe, like they've done with other teams, and you just kind of lose a home game, because this is more of the Spurs actually looking to expand their own brand by putting other games outside of their own market. And think about it, San Antonio, San Marcos combines both the Austin and San Antonio TV markets, which makes it a bigger draw as well. So I'm buying the fact that this is absolutely on the table, and this smoke is something that the Spurs organization is actually trying to do, along with the fact that new owners, new partners within the building have a lot of ties to the Austin area, and they just opened a brand new, beautiful arena up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. James, I believe you were the one years ago who told me that this was on the table. Can we talk about that? Or is that still cool?
Yeah, this is as soon as Michael Dell bought in, I was automatically worried. And it was something that I was like, I don't like this. I don't like the sound of this at all. This is not good. The whole selling pieces off and major pieces. And remember, this is going to be a newly named stadium. The stadium is yet to be named. And think about it. Austin's a happening city. Austin's got South by Southwest. It's got ACL. It's hosting the iHeart Country Music Festival. They've got money with studios and productions from Hollywood to where they're filming there now. I mean, it is a tech city. Elon Musk has built a Tesla dealership out there. Oh, they've gotten Circuit of the Americas, that brand new Moody Center. Like, it is a happening place. And while free agents might see it more of a destination than they would Austin, I would be terrified of either the team relocating or San Antonio having to basically meet in the middle, the kind of way that Dallas Cowboys did, and all of a sudden the games are outside of the city, although they're still called the San Antonio Spurs.
Right. Jimenez, what are your thoughts about this recent development? Spurs asking to play a few games away from the AT&T Center, Austin, Mexico City, Alamo Dome. What are your thoughts on that? You buying or selling? Is this smoke?
Well, I don't know if I want to buy or sell. I just want to give a middle finger to whoever made this decision to play any games in Austin, okay? First of all, if the Spurs relocate to Austin, I would relocate to Austin because there'd be no other reason to live in San Antonio. Sorry, Fiesta and the Rodeo does not do it for me. No, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because, you know, I understand the Mexico market as far as wanting to go to play games in Mexico City. I've never had a problem with that because San Antonio is the gateway to the United States from Mexico when it comes to the NBA. And we had, you know, there's similarities culturally and all that stuff. That makes perfect sense for San Antonio to want to have its footprint in Mexico City and in parts of Mexico. I get that. When it comes to Austin, screw Austin. Okay. That is the attitude that we need to take as a city, because fact of the matter is that, you know, the Spurs, what, have an agreement to not leave the city for a few years, and I believe it's something like 2032.
Yeah,
They'd have to pay to leave San Antonio if they wanted to. Dude, the city of Austin could come up with that money in a heartbeat. Okay, right now, I kind of feel, as a Spurs fan, like the Big 12 felt when A&M left, and you knew it was going to be at some point that UT and OU were going to follow along. That's what I feel. I feel like the Southwest Conference disbanding. Because, hate to admit it this way, the only thing that San Antonio has better than Austin is breakfast tacos, dude. Seriously. The fact of the matter is, military presence. There you go. Those two things. They've got the money. They've got the attraction. Players would want to play there. There's a lot of that. So whenever I hear that the Spurs are, you know, selling portions off to people from Austin, when I hear that they're going to play at the Moody Center, that pisses me off, because that's almost like saying that the Spurs want to have an open relationship with other cities. Right. I still love you, San Antonio, but I also want to date around.
Yeah.
That's what that feels like. And, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is that this wouldn't be an issue if people went to games. You know, this wouldn't be an issue if you didn't watch, like a relationship. You know, sometimes if your girl is out and about, or if your fella's out and about or whatnot, you know, if you're secure in yourself, then, you know, you know, you're confident in the relationship. But if you have insecurities about yourself, suddenly you're not confident about your relationship. And the thing about that is that it's hard for San Antonio to be confident when you turn on Bally Sports and see that basically half of the bottom bowl is empty. And that's going to be an issue, because if the Spurs do not fill up that arena year after year after year after year, then there's no reason for a team to be in San Antonio, because we are not a big market.
Yeah.
Well, we're also not a big market.
Yeah.
We're not a big market. So the fact of the matter is that if only 9,000 people, I know they're going to say that they sold the game out and all that stuff. Right. But really, StubHub's holding the StubHub, Ticketmaster, and SeatGeek are really the ones holding the tickets, right? Because no one's buying them. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, this stinks. This reeks of something coming down the road. And big middle finger to whoever made this decision at Spurs organization.
Yeah, it's like Austin is always seems to be on the Spurs' back. James, you know, remember the whole Austin, San Antonio FC, what could have been? That relocation thing, you know, and the Columbus? It was then called the Columbus FCA.
Believe. But maybe
said like,
maybe.
No, I want to go to Austin and just pull the rug under San Antonio. What's up, Jimenez?
Hey, Jeff, maybe, just maybe, the Austin Spurs will then come to San Antonio and we'll be their farm team.
Can you imagine that? A flip like that? God, that'd be, you know, look.
And think ahead, about it this way. There's reason that they're going to want into Austin market, and whether it's a middle stadium or just taking the franchise altogether. I mean, you've sold off pieces of this, whether it's the Stars to Vegas or the Rampage to Vegas, and you didn't hit on the MLS team, as you mentioned. And think about it. You've got, what, four big sponsors within the city of San Antonio and Frostbank, HEB, USAA, and am I missing one?
You said AT&T, Frostbank, Valero. I think, is Valero still involved?
Valero, yeah. Valero and USAA. Like, those are your big dollar sponsorships. So it's kind of limited in the amount of selling that you do, right? Mm-hmm. Because you've only got so many fish that you can pitch to. But when you go to Austin, that market opens up in terms of big corporate dollars that you can now pitch to, whether it's Dell or Tesla. You know, they've got tons of money and tech money up there in which sponsorships would be driven, and you could sell probably a lot more.
Now, to be fair, this whole San Antonio, Austin, San Antonio thing has been in existence for years now. This is nothing new. There is the Austin Spurs. The Spurs did invest in an Austin-based company. Again, I mean, this goes to James and Michael's point. The mobile gaming giant, Tribe Gaming, which is based in Austin. Austin Spurs do play a game in San Antonio. And then there is the Spurs ride shares from Austin to San Antonio for Austin fans to come to watch a game, and helicopter rides. So this doesn't exist. So this is pretty, could this be just more of the same that's been existing in years? Likely. But I'm not there yet to buy it. I'm still there selling this. I get why Spurs fans could get nervous. I see your point, James. I see your point, Jimenez, and the whole thing here. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic that Spurs fans are going to be watching. Personally, I think it's just more of the same that's been going on for years. And Austin, San Antonio, building of that brand, Spurs are just trying to survive in this league. Hey, we're going to start putting a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We're done talking. We definitely want to hear from you. But James, tell us what's going on over in your neck of the woods with the Sunday morning hangover and much more.
Well, it's the Saturday morning hangover.
Saturday 9 to 11.
You can get hungover on Sunday too. I think that's just the Sunday Sports Grill, though, so they'll cook you up something nice and try and stop up all that hangover with grease. But Saturday morning hangover, me and Jack, 9 to 11. Of course, I produce R&R in the morning, and Michael's show halftime during the week. So I am all over the station all day, every day. I'm sure if you just, you know, called in at any point in time throughout the day, you'll probably find me here. So if the Keel Boss are making phone lines are ringing, I'm probably picking it up.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure to follow Pledger on Twitter at I Am Pledger. And again, that is the Saturday morning hangover. A very good show. And y'all dive into the sneaker realm of the NBA or just basketball in general. So I always dig that. And of course, you got the meta as well that James is part of with Katie Barber as well. Michael, what's going on with halftime? I know you got a lot of stuff cooking this week.
Yeah, you know, we do sports, pop culture, nostalgia over at halftime. It's a oddball show. You know, don't be wrong, we talk sports, but there's a lot of pop culture references in there. There's a lot of nostalgic things about the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s when it comes to sports and music and movies and whatnot.
There's a lot of movie watching for the first time.
A lot of movie watching for the first time. I do my movie.
That's why Murray blocked you, man. He hated your reviews.
Yeah, he got mad because I watched Friday for the first time last week. But this week it will be Fast and the Furious. So I'm being caught up on all the things growing up.
I'm going to tell you again, Jimenez. You see the first Fast and Furious, you've seen them all. I mean, that's basically it. You've seen them all. There's no need to say one, two, or the bazillion number of movies they have. I know Pledger will be all about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness very, very, very soon. Yeah, so he'll be ready for that as well. James, Michael, I want to thank you for making this happen. It's something I've always wanted this to happen. I've been bugging James for, I think, close to a year now about
summer. Yeah, I'm just shocked we agreed so much.
I really thought y'all were gonna cross paths at the major move this offseason. I said, okay, that's where it's gonna happen. But nope, didn't happen. Maybe the next time, the next episode of Locked On Spurs with the Pledger and Jimenez. We thank you also for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. You can find it on YouTube, Google Play, iTunes. The list goes on and on. Again, yeah, we thank you. Subscribe to all Locked On NBA shows. So for James Pledger, Michael Jimenez, I am Jeff Garcia. We're gonna put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.
Nice.